Good morning. We are back. This is the Morning Liberty program, and we are live at RBN. I appreciate you tuning in. Our phone number, if you have questions, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. We have about 4 minutes in this segment, and with us this hour is John Moore. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
How is the weather where you are this morning?
It's clear. It's cool, but it's supposed to be up in the 70s today. It's going to be a beautiful day.
The last few days in this neck of the woods, we've had some winter storms come through. I think today should be sunny and nice. I'm thinking much of this, these clouds and storms are moving eastward. John, could you let us know a little bit about you as we begin this morning?
Well, sure. As I frequently tell people, 43 years ago, U.S. Army Intelligence School, U.S. Military Intelligence School, took my 19-year-old pile of mush brain and made it into something useful. They made it into a research tool. And a very disciplined research tool. I did a tour in Vietnam in psychological warfare where I was an intelligence analyst. Flew 57 combat missions, kicking leaflets and playing our loudspeaker tapes. Came back to the States where I finished out my tour of duty in the U.S. Army Special Forces as an intelligence analyst, getting ready to invade the Middle East 3 different times, by the way, in 1969. Got out of the Army, got my degree as a legal assistant, where once again, I was formally trained to be a researcher. And I was recruited shortly after I got out of college to become a criminal investigator. In 1973, I investigated my first murder case. I'm still investigating homicides. I've got 2 homicides in my case inventory as we speak. So I guess after nearly 38 years, I might make it a career. Along the way, I became politically active in Second Amendment matters. In the late 80s, I became a radio talk show host in 1995. This is my 15th year as a radio talk show host. I'm on Republic, by the way, on Sunday afternoons from 3 to 5 Central. So I've done a lot of things for a lot of years, many of which have serious consequences. Defending a person charged with first-degree murder is about as serious as anything could possibly be. And I, along the way, as a researcher, I got involved in studying the 10th planet and what we call Earth changes. I did manage to locate and debrief the Navy veterans who were at the classified briefings about these matters going all the way back to 1979 when the Navy began these briefings about violently rising ocean levels and violently changing climate, which they knew 31 years ago would be happening 31 years in the future, which is right now. And the U.S. Navy told all these men, by the way, that the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks would be one of the known safe havens. And without exception, everyone who was told that, RJ, has moved to the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks because of these classified briefings that they attended.
I take a look at America and feel that there are many places that may be safer than, for example, many of the coastal cities. We see events, right, like the flooding now on the East Coast. And we see earthquakes taking place in northern Mexico, southern California, earthquakes in Indonesia and Chile and other places around the world, right? And then the flooding is what has surprised me so far this spring, a function of extra storms, extra snow, extra rain. And right. Somebody has to start scratching their head and thinking, well, can you connect the dots with any of these events? And, you know, many of us really don't know at this point.
Well, that's true. The cover story put out by NASA and Al Gore is just that, man-made CO2 greenhouse gases, and we got a break, don't we?
Yep, we'll be back after the break. Thank you for coming this morning and joining us. We'll be back after this at RBN. The time this morning is 8 minutes after the hour. This is the Morning Liberty program, and we are live. I'm RJ. My guest this hour, this morning, is John Moore. About a week ago or two, John Moore was scheduled to join me, and I had a personal event come up in my life. I had a fire I had to put out, and I appreciate that John was able to join us this morning. In fact, he's scheduled to join us in a couple of weeks. And some of the things that he has to say, many Americans really have no clue. Too many Americans really have been listening to Al Gore and think that he is the gospel. on with his discussion about global warming. But you see, there's some truth to global warming, and John Moore has been trying to let that information out. John?
Yes, well, the story put out by Al Gore is essentially the same put out by NASA. He's become the cheerleader for NASA. And that is, this climate change we're experiencing is a result of man-made CO2 greenhouse gases. That's a cover story, RJ. It's a cover story to conceal what's really going on. And they've been pretty effective in convincing most people that this is, in fact, what's happening. I'd say at least half the people believe that. The other half believe that what's going on is a natural, slow-moving event that we can't do anything about anyway, so they don't pay attention to it. Both sides are wrong. It is natural on one hand, but it's not slow moving. It is part of a cyclical event that we being this planet, go through every 3,600 years. It's kind of ironic. One of my contacts, we've become correspondents, and he's been on my show several times. He's a messianic rabbi. He came to the same conclusion as I did from debriefing these Navy veterans by studying the Torah. He came to understand the cyclical nature of what we're going through. Just as I've come to understand this by debriefing men who were at the classified Navy briefings. What's going on here is a planetary-sized object comes through our solar system every 3,600 years, and when it does, it just creates massive problems. And it could be severe to the point where we once again end up with seashells on top of mesas in Arizona, which, RJ, you go out there this morning and walk on top of a mesa and find seashells. Not the fossils of seashells, but the seashells themselves.
Wow.
Or you can go to the Himalaya Mountains and find seashells 10,000, 12,000 feet above what's now sea level. And they're not fossils of seashells. They are the seashells. So we don't know how bad it's going to get.
Here's the thing. When you find seashells at those locations, you can't discount the find. It's like you can see with your own eyes, okay, this is evidence of something. And, you know, I was noticing last night, for example, there are several things that I think docs needed to be connected in. In Glacier National Park, for example, and I lived in Montana for a little while. I went to school at the University of Montana in Missoula, okay?
Right.
I was going to be this fancy television newscaster, right? That was my career goal. And at the Glacier National Park, there used to be 150 glaciers. You know, that's why it was called Glacier National Park.
Right.
You know, and now, because of melting, there's 25 glaciers left.
Right. Right. I was reading that same thing, that same story this morning, RJ. And here's what's going on. First of all, I've become a student of Professor James McCanney. I've had him on my show a number of times, and he's a credentialed scientist. I'm just a homicide detective and a researcher, but Professor McCanney is the real scientist, and he's written a number of books, one specifically on weather. And most of weather on Earth is a consequence of energy coming at us from our sun. Now, I know this audience somebody will immediately bring up HARP, and HARP, the man-made weather modification, can affect maybe a couple hundred square miles for maybe 2 or 3 days. That's about what HARP can do before they have to shut it down, let it cool off. But otherwise, our weather is a consequence of energy from our sun. And what's happening, this 10th planet moves deeper into our solar system. It interacts with electrical energy and gravity with both us directly and our sun with electrical energy and gravity. The electrical energy is what's affecting the sun and affecting our weather. And that's becoming more severe and more violent as we get deeper into this cycle, to the point where we're going to have what might be called a pole shift when our planet interacts with gravity with the 10th planet and shifts its true north, not magnetic north, which has been changing dramatically already for years. But when true north moves, possibly 15 to 17 degrees, that's going to disrupt this bulge of water at the equator. Now, RJ, sea level's measured at Cornwall, England. You know, it's been that way for a couple of centuries or more. And what they call sea level at Cornwall, England, when you get to the equator, the ocean is nearly 500 feet above that point in Cornwall, England. Going north-south from the equator for hundreds of miles, you've got a bulge of water that is hundreds of thousands of cubic miles of water above what we call sea level, held in place by gravity and the rotation of the Earth.
I had a chance to take a look at a DVD you sent my way, and it just knocked my socks off. And this bulge that's around the world, I just, you know, if you think about it, if you put water in a bucket and start, you know, spinning it around and around and around, that it, with, you know, it throws the water in the bucket to the bottom of the bucket. In the same way as the Earth is spinning around and around and around, it creates this bulge around the planet as well. And I'm thinking, I'd never really thought about that before.
Well,
but it's true, isn't it?
It is true. One of the disadvantages I had in debriefing these Navy veterans is they were in the folding chairs in the audience. They weren't the scientists. They were told what would happen. They were not told why it would happen. This bulge of water is common knowledge in every university on the planet that studies these matters in geology and oceans and so forth. Quite common knowledge. It's unknown to the average citizen, but it's quite well known among people who study these matters. And yes, this bulge of water is real. And it took me a couple of years to figure this out, RJ, because I thought, well, how can ice possibly melt that fast to cause this flooding? Well, it won't be ice melting. Ice melting is already creating other problems, which I'll discuss in a moment. But the violent flooding will come from this bulge of water being disrupted.
But is it possible that the Earth is slowing down? You know, it's spin going round and round and round, that it could be slowing down. One effect, right, of this 10th planet, and I don't know if this is the one that people have been calling Planet X for a while, but, you know, one of the consequences of this planet number 10, you know, is gravitational changes, right? There are new agers that are talking about, you know, changes about to come, you know, because we're becoming different people. And I'm thinking, no, you know, there's really planetary changes that most of us have no clue about.
Well, that's true. Gravitational changes is not, as best I can tell, they're going to be not the main event. There may be some slight changes in gravity, but that's not the main event. The main event is the pole shift. Typically, these pole shifts run 15 to 17 degrees, not a 180-degree flip, which people have been talking about. Typically, they've happened many times in the past, RJ. A 15 to 17-degree, maybe 20-degree pole shift is most likely what we're looking at, and that will disrupt that bulge of water, and that will cause massive flooding on all low-lying areas, according to the U.S. Navy, up to 400 feet above sea level. Now, down there in Texas, where Republic is, I get callers calling me. They say, John, I'm 100 miles from the ocean, and I've got seashells in my backyard. You know? You know? But this has happened in the past, and it will happen again. It is cyclical, and we just happen to be the generation that's going to witness these events firsthand. And we're at the edge of these things happening right now, and maybe this would be a good time to bring up the December 21st, 2012 matter, which is another matter of disinformation, and it's going to get a lot of people hurt, RJ. We don't have until December 21st, 2012.
Well, you know, you'd mentioned your experience in the military and all of the debriefing that you have been having. Well, many of us, we may not be in the military, but we still have, in my opinion, a right to the truth. We have a right to know. And I think because of the right to know by Americans and, you know, other people on the planet, you have been sharing this, I think, just as quickly as you can.
Well, I have. I just delivered 1,000 copies of my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, to a businessman in Nashville. He's going to be distributing them starting today. Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, has been shipped all over the planet to, Republic Broadcasting has a worldwide reach through satellite and internet. And it's been very gratifying to get this out, and I encourage people to make copies of it. As long as we're not selling them, make as many copies as you want. Get the information out there and do it as quickly as we can.
Is it okay with you if I put it on my website and allow people to have access to it?
Absolutely. In fact, I have a toll-free number that people can call 24/7 to order a copy. That's 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. And, of course, my website, RJ, is thelibertyman.com.
You know, it's interesting. I've had some listeners say that there's a lot of synchronicity with my program in the morning. I've been here a little more than a year now at RBN. I've been doing this for about 19 years. When I was invited to join RBN, I was considering, okay, what should I call this thing? Well, liberty is, you know, what I discuss. It's been what I have always discussed, on the air. And now I get to do it in the morning, you know, so I'm thinking it ought to be, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Well, maybe we should hold the name to be self-evident. Morning. Liberty.
And
you're the Liberty Man.
Right. Well,
I think if you had not claimed that title, then I certainly should claim that title, but go ahead.
Well, I got into radio back in the mid-90s, and we have another crisis.
We'll be back after this. It is 23 minutes after the hour. This is the Morning Liberty program. I have the Liberty Man with us. I'm RJ, and my guest this morning, John Moore. And we have John from Tennessee. Tennessee, John, good morning.
Morning, RJ. Good morning, Mr. Moore. How are you doing?
Real good, John.
Well, a couple of questions. You said you just delivered 1,000 DVDs in Nashville?
Right, right.
Okay. Do you mind if I ask who has them so that I can get in touch?
Well, he's not in the business of selling them. I think he's going to distribute them privately, so I can't do that.
Okay. The other question I had for you, you mentioned the Messianic rabbi. That wasn't Mark Phillips, was it?
No, Pete. Because of his employment, his day job, he only uses his first name. So no, it's not.
Okay, well, the other thing that I had was that it's interesting that you were talking about the Torah. I was wondering specifically what it might have been that he read to determine that this happened every 3,600 years.
Well, I can't answer for him, but I think it was the sum total of his study that led him to those conclusions. And I'm probably going to back on my Sunday show one day soon. I can't say which Sunday it'll be. We have to match up our schedules. But keep listening on my Sunday show, we'll have him on there, and you can ask him the question directly.
Okay. Well, the reason that I had asked you was that my schedule has changed. I don't get to hear you on Sunday anymore. I do miss your program. Just glad that RJ had you on. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Let's go ahead and give out that 800 number again, and I hope that people can write this down so they can have access to this video you're talking about.
Okay, that 800 number is 800-592-9543.
There's all kinds of reasons why there are people in the country now thinking about, you know, there's really got to be a safer place for my family. And they're looking at, you know, moving somewhere like maybe into the mountains.
Right.
And I'm thinking even the Ozarks in Arkansas, your level there above sea level is lower than even the valley where I live here in the Rocky Mountains. I think just about anywhere along the Rocky Mountains you could find safe places if you're going to take you and your family out of harm's way. It's interesting how much of D.C., people who work in D.C., people who have been a part of this government are, you know, getting out of Dodge. Many under the radar of the American public.
Well, one of the big hobbies in D.C. is rumors. And everybody wants, a lot of people working in government are connected to a lot of other people. It's difficult to keep a secret of this magnitude. It really is. And even if you're under non-disclosure agreements, if you go to church with somebody and you become friends with them, your children play with each other, you're going to tell your friend that, hey, you know, it's time to get out of Dodge, you know, and get a new career and get away from Washington, D.C., 85 feet above sea level.
Well, this year it was kind of fun for me to see that a snowstorm was able to shut down Congress for at least half a week. And I'm thinking, you know, we really need more snow to hit D.C.
Well, that would be a good thing. And you always hear about the most powerful government on the planet being the United States government. And all it takes is a minor snowstorm in Michigan or Minnesota to shut down the whole thing.
Yeah, so we out here in the West, we pray for more snow. I think Snowbird, for example, the Snowbird ski resort areas like Park City that were well known during the Olympics 2002, we have, you know, every year at least 13 feet, sometimes 18 feet and more of snow up in these mountains. And the valley where I live in Eagle Valley here is about 5,000 feet above sea level. You know, and the mountains peak at around 10,000 and 12,000 above sea level. And people, John, have been asking me for years, and I'm thinking you've probably been getting the same question. RJ, what should I do?
Where should
my family go? And I think if I were to give advice, I said, well, head to the hills. Head to the Rocky Mountains. But I'm thinking what's probably the best advice is, see, every one of us have different skills. Every one of us have different abilities. Every one of us may have, you know, a different life path. And the best thing I think somebody can do is get on their knees and ask God, where does God want you to go? Where does he want you and your family to be? I think that's the answer that matters.
Well, I agree. And people are constantly asking me what they should do. And I tell them it's not my job to tell you what to do. It's my job to help give you the knowledge you need to make your own decision. And it is your decision, and praying is an excellent way to help reach that decision.
This 10th planet, would this be what some have been calling Planet X?
Yes, sir, it is. It's got a number of names in the Bible. It's called Wormwood, and it's also called Nibiru. There's different cultures have different names for it. I was doing some research recently on the Hopi elders that went to the United Nations to warn the entire planet about these matters.
Wow. Yeah.
And they were basically made fun of at the time as a bunch of silly old men with a bunch of old tales from ancient Indian lore.
There's the music. We'll be back after the break. A few years ago, Art Bell was talking about some of these things, as well as Jeff Rentz and now George Norrie. I talk about these things with my kids, right? I have 11 kids, 6 daughters, 5 sons, and most of them, half of them now are on their own, right? And they think, Dad, you are so whacked. You are so weird. And I'm thinking, you know, at some point, okay, they will see the evidence of this. In fact, I have one son, as I've been talking about the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, our liberties, and so forth. He calls me every once in a while, and he says, you know, Dad, you know, the older I get, the smarter you get. I thought, oh, wow. So I've come to understand what it's like to, you do the right thing, and it doesn't matter whether people agree or disagree. It doesn't even matter. Doing the right thing matters. And it's not about being popular. It's about doing the right thing. And who I answer to is God. Okay? And this personal relationship, I think, matters. And I think, John, that, on these matters, that people are being notified by the Creator in their dreams and in their prayer closets. And I think so far, many Americans, they don't want to lose their job. They don't want to lose their home. And so they are staying put when really, even now, they should be getting out of Dodge and finding them, you know, a more safe place to have their home and to do their business and to find work or to create work, okay? I have found that sometimes having a job is like guaranteed poverty. You always have someone who's willing to tell you what to do and someone who's willing to tell you what you're worth. I don't get paid for this work at RBN. You know, money's not why I do this. This is a function of how I serve. And I'm thinking I get that with you, John, that that's how you operate as well. But whatever you want to call it, whether it's Planet X, whether it's the 10th planet, I have gone to the Hopi nation as well. And there are many there who I think have insights to what the truth is above and beyond what this federal government may dish out to you and me. Hello. Did we lose John? So the discussion about Planet X has been going on for some time. So much that it's like Y2K, you know, January 1 of year 2000 is coming. And you had better get ready. And, you know, Y2K came and the end of the world didn't occur. So people now hear these things from us and suggest, well, you guys are just saying the whole thing again. The sky is falling, the sky is falling. Will you guys just go away? You guys are just alarmists. Anyway, there's no truth to your discussion. And I'm thinking, this Planet X, there is truth to this 10th planet, whatever you want to call it. Is John Moore back?
I'm back.
And I'm thinking it really doesn't matter what they say about us. What matters is that we answer to the Creator.
Hello, hello.
John, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you could hear me, RJ.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, what we're learning is there's different disciplines to come to the same conclusion. Studying the Bible, the Old Testament or the Torah is one way. My method has been to locate and debrief the Navy veterans who read the classified briefings. There's Professor McKinney and other scientists, Dr. Velikowski, Zechariah Sitchin, who recently...
We're listening to the Hopi elders. Nothing is wrong with that.
Not at all. These men, they traveled 2,000 miles to give us this warning 50 years ago, and they were made fun of. They were given a total of 10 minutes to warn the planet what they've known for 3,600 years.
And it's coming again. In fact, I take a look at, I'm going here. I'm surprised. My wife says sometimes, honey, you scare me. I say, well, honey, I scare myself sometimes. I see the Old Testament and New Testament, and there are people who will tell you, well, if it's not in the book, then it's not true. But the history of the Hopi has not been told. The history of the Hopi is not in some book. The history of the Hopi has been passed on from father to son, mother to daughter, from one generation to another and to another. And there's much about the history of the earth and about this continent and this country that we could learn from if we're willing just to sit down and listen. But it's like we think we're so smart, you know. And yet, if you were to give a timetable, John, do you think you may give us a clue when this Planet X may be arriving?
Okay, it's not a timetable, it's a date, it's a time frame. What us researchers who are looking into this and have access to a lot of information is that by December 21st, 2012, most of these events will either be already over or so far underway, it won't matter. We're in the last couple of years of these events taking place. You know, we're going to see a rapid increase in the number and severity of volcanism, of seismic activity, and these weather-related events, ending with a pole shift that will slosh these waters out of their ocean basins, flooding all low-lying coastal areas.
So are you suggesting that before Planet X arrives here at its closest location to the Earth, that it's already having gravitational effects?
It already is. Yes, sir. It already is. And that's the electrical effects and gravitational effects, but more right, the electrical effects are what's hurting us right now with our weather. That's what's affecting us right now and will continue to affect us and become more severe and more dramatic as the 10th planet gets deeper into our solar system.
How close, in the process of your debriefing, how close may this 10th planet or Planet X come to where the Earth is?
Really, the distance is not relevant. What's relevant is how it affects us from a distance. Professor McKinney uses the term action at a distance. And in terms of what we call miles, it's going to be several million miles away. And it does, by the way, have a debris field that travels with it about 250,000 miles wide on either side of it. And the likelihood of getting smacked by rocks from that debris field is pretty great. And we've been smacked by rocks in the past. I found out recently that there's a 10 or 11 mile diameter meteor crater here in the Ozarks, not far from where I'm sitting, that is almost unknown. And there's a string of these things in a line across the United States, huge meteor craters that hit in the distant past. And we're probably going to take some hits from this thing, too. How big they'll be, I don't know.
You know, on the Internet, there have been reports, all kinds of reports, about the scalar wave technology. And there are a few governments that do have the scalar waves. But it's interesting that there are people coming forward on the Internet saying, well, oh, yeah, that earthquake that happened in Chile, that was a HARP attack. Or, you know, it's so easy to make that kind of an accusation.
Well, it is.
And blame it on HARP. Right. And yet, you know, there's so much misinformation on the Internet above and beyond what any truth may be. It's like taking caution to just go through and determine, okay, what is the truth of the matter and what is not?
Well, statements like that in the absence of evidence are just empty statements. I don't know that HARP can cause an earthquake. We know nuclear devices can cause earthquakes because we've seen it happen. And Tesla had made a machine that could make earthquakes. But in the absence of any evidence, they're just empty statements.
But it's clear that with or without HARP, that as Planet X comes closer and closer, that these events are going to multiply.
Yes, sir.
They're going to increase in intensity, and they're going to multiply with frequency. And in fact, I think the day of the 21st of December 2012, according to the Mayan calendar, that there's a series of planets that are going to be lining up. So along with Planet X is the gravitational change that will occur as all of these planets line up in a row.
Well, according to Professor McKinney, and he does have the degree in astrophysics, not me, he says don't worry about it. And he also makes reference to a number of Mayan calendars. The Mayan calendar issue is a distraction. If you have a website, RJ, I have a website. You look at mine, you can tell there's not big bucks behind it. You look at some of these 2012 websites, they look like IBM did them. There's a lot of money behind promoting the 2012 agenda and a lot of mass media attention on the History Channel, for example. People think
I've been noticing my wife last night, for example, watching the History Channel and the program that was being, you know, it's like persuasion from the History Channel, Earth After People. And I'm thinking, who's behind a program like this, Earth After People?
Right.
And then we hear the public comments of Daddy Bush saying that we will have a new world order. And I think they have targeted this 21st of December 2012. And they're trying, I think, to put in place their policies, their game before this day arrives.
Well they are, but the powers that be aren't concerned about December 21st, 2012. But people think they're going to watch Jesse Ventura on a mainstream TV network and learn secrets of the U.S. government. How absurd. How absolutely absurd that people think they can watch network television, Jesse Ventura, reveal secrets. That's not going to happen. You know, people with my message, I've been on Fox News nationwide several times, RJ, and I found out firsthand, you can only go so far with these people. I was talking about terrorism and, we did several shows, and I said to the producer in New York, let's do something a bit more serious. And I suggested we talk about the feel-good, make-believe security at these airports. She said, John, I'll talk to my boss. I'll get back with you tomorrow. She got back with me the next day. And she said, John, it's too scary. We can't talk about that. And I said, okay. That was the end of that. Now, do not be distracted by this 2012 date. We don't have that long. We may have a year, we may have 2 years, but certainly not much more than that at the most.
And this is all about Planet X, not even discussing what the intentions of New World Order people may have in store.
Well, once the powers that be discovered that this was real, they incorporated the 10th planet into everything else they've been planning for centuries. This is a generational thing. The powers that be is generational. It follows bloodlines, and they just incorporated this matter into the rest of their goals that they want to achieve, and they've done so quite successfully, I might add.
I want to get to the callers. That's always an important thing for me, but I want to make sure that we cover the material. Okay, so before we go to Indiana with the caller, and then Australia, Is there anything that we haven't talked about that we can with the moments that we have left? I think in this segment we have 5 minutes. In the next segment we have 4 minutes left.
Right. Well, it's a very complex matter. It's taken me years and thousands of pages of reading and lots of debriefing. So I think if they get my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, they can get a lot more education there.
Okay. I got that. Let's go to the phones. Indiana, we'll talk with Roger, and then after that we'll go to Australia. Roger, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, RJ and Mr. Moore. Mr. Moore, my question to you is I've been debating. Do I stick in my own area, you know, and hold ground? But I was thinking about moving up north to a colder climate, at least 500 miles away from a major city. One of the main reasons is because I'm thinking of pandemics are going to be breaking out. Everybody's talking going south warmer and warmer, and I figured that was the worst choice. What do you think?
Well, it's been known for a long time that colder climates generally are healthier. The cold weather will kill off these bugs that are harmful. You're certainly going to have a lot less people 500 miles north of Indiana. A lot less people to deal with, and if you can deal with the harsh climate and brutal winters and still figure out a way to stay warm and grow food, it might be just the place for you.
Well, I figured that's the only thing I'd have to battle is just surviving the cold. Everything else would die, you know, the bugs and the diseases,
right,
and everything.
Right.
I do agree. Number one, it is a spiritual battle. You know, I believe in Christ, and, you know, and that's one of the things I've been really working on also, you know, is really making sure my spiritual life is on track here, because I know tougher times are coming, and that's where the real battle is.
Absolutely.
Not against flesh and blood, you know. And I wanted to make a comment real quick was, you know, how do you know I heard about a satellite on Saturn. It's called Project Lucifer, and they're talking about igniting it, and it's supposed to ignite before round 12, you know, the 2012 December. And I'm just wondering, you know, everybody's going to get in their bunkers and all that. They break out of a pandemic, wipes everybody out. This thing cleanses the disease, and then they come out of their holes, you know, the governments and all that. That's my little sling on that. And I'm thinking they're just going to try to create a big fear, too, because of 2012.
Right. Well, there's lots of overlapping agendas there. Roger, and we just need to be prepared spiritually and physically to deal with them.
Well, thank you very much. I know you have other callers. I know I threw it out there real fast, but I know we're short on time. But thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. We may have time enough to squeeze in one more call or two more calls. Our phone number, 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. John, I have found, you know, storing some food away is just really smart. Putting away some medical supplies, and on my website, I have a listener who sent to me a top 100 list. People involved in, I think, Somalia in some war years that occurred there, and they found that there are some things that you and I may never even think about. MorningLiberty.com. That I have posted these lists. There are media people like John Moore and others around the country who send to me their resources, their research, and I do my best to share them with you by posting them as well as my own articles at MorningLiberty.com. And it's just amazing all of the things you think that you need compared to all of the things, you know, that we didn't think about that we may need.
Well, one of the more common things that gets overlooked is how do you do laundry without hot and cold running water at 40 pounds pressure. And that's no small thing. It's a big thing. I advocate people get Maytag Ringer washers. It's a lot easier to have electricity than it is to have hot and cold running water under 40 pounds of pressure, which Maytag Ringer washers can't and don't use.
Let's go ahead and give out the 800 number again, and the web. What is the name of the video again for the first? Go ahead.
The title of the video is Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. And the toll free number is 800-592-9543.
And I can see we're about to go into a break. Let's see if we can squeeze in another call from Australia. Kevin, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, RJ, and hi, John.
Morning, Kevin.
Two points. All the Americans are welcome to escape to Australia. We make you people very welcome down here. and we even make you into governors. We've got an American governor in the state of New South Wales.
Kevin, hang on. We're going into a break. This is the Morning Liberty Program at RBN. We are back. This is the Morning Liberty Program. Recently, John Moore is my guest. I'm RJ. Recently, John, there was a movie called 2012. Did you have a chance to see it?
The first 15 minutes, my black Lincoln Town Car was the hero of the movie.
It was interesting to see some of the... I see movies and I think there are quiet things that somebody would like to share with, you know, the public. And so they hide some truths in those things. And there's also a whole lot of misinformation as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think the point that you've been driving home so far this morning is that, you know, we don't have much time.
We don't.
And we had better do something to get ready. And I'm thinking of, apparently people on the inside know that stuff is coming, but we need to get ready for these events.
The U.S. government started talking to engineers and contractors in 1979 to build what they built. It took them until very recently to complete the majority of it. They're still working. The NSA just granted a contract to build a new computer center 20 miles south of Salt Lake City to move from Fort Detrick, Maryland, quote-unquote, because the electricity is cheaper. Right.
Yeah. And there are people who probably believe that.
Oh, yeah. Right. You know, we're going to spend tens of millions of dollars to save some electricity. You know, the government doesn't think that way. No.
Well, this NSA thing, I'm not very happy it's coming into this neck of the woods. But, you know, apparently somebody is making the decision at some level, we really need to get out of here now.
Right.
So at least those decisions are being made rather than just holding blindly to say, you know, we're the greatest nation in the world. Nothing can happen to us. Such arrogance and such pride could get you in trouble.
Absolutely. And one of the points I make in my DVD is that the federal government is doing these things. They're doing them right now, not 40 years in the future. The Al Gore NASA message is that these things will happen 40 years in the future. Bill Gates wouldn't have paid the money to get the seed vault built in Norway right now if these things were going to happen 40 years in the future.
So one of my questions is, will people survive these events? I mean, it's just a huge question. I know major underground bases are being built. About 99 underground military bases have been built in this country. Go ahead.
Right. Well, it'll be a massive kill-off, and those who aren't prepared, they'll simply die, RJ, and that's just a fact of life. If you're not prepared to survive these things, you're not going to make it.
So with a shift of the planet by 15 degrees to 17 degrees, I mean, some people have been talking about the pole shift at 180 degrees, you know, the north going down south, the south coming up north,
right.
That these events could have devastating impact even at 15 degrees upon
right.
the whole planet. The
exactly.
shift of that ocean bulge around the equator, earthquakes, volcanoes, just all kinds of surface tectonic shifts. I think we have no idea. We have no idea the impact this is going to have, but it is coming.
It is coming, and we're at the edge of it right now. A year ago today, we had a hurricane in the Ozarks, right where I am. I'm 900 miles from the nearest ocean, RJ, and we had a hurricane in the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks.
Wow. And we had tornadoes here a couple of years ago, and tornadoes were impossible in the Rocky Mountains.
Right. Well, past tense, used to be.
A listener told me, John, that I should have a discussion with you on the air, and you and me, we are scheduled to come back together on the 21st of this month. I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be fun. I look forward to it myself, RJ.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Stay tuned. Bill Carnes is next here at RBN. I'll be back tomorrow with John Bailey. This is RBN. I'll see you tomorrow.